He is one of the producers and one of the stars of a series on Showtime, which is must-see if you are passionate about politics and at this reality show we call the Election 2016. It's called The Circus. Mark McKinnon, who cut his teeth working for a lot of candidates like George Bush. Welcome back to Kilmeade and Friends.
Captain Kilmeade, how are you?
Good. You're great on television. You're very calm and natural. How long have you had that ability?
Well, I got burned up in the microwaves of campaigns, you know. I've learned to relax.
Yeah, you definitely relax. Tell us about, before we talk about what's happening in politics, for people who haven't seen The Circus on Showtime, and Showtime On Demand if you miss anything, or the Showtime app, tell us what you what your objective was and how you've been pulling it off, because it's great.
Thanks, Brian. It's very simple. I've been around presidential campaigns for many, many years, and I've always thought that they are just they're such fascinating ecosystems of characters that's full of drama, of you know, of humor and sadness and pain, most of which the public never sees. And I've just always thought it would be fascinating if we could somehow pull the curtain back a little bit and let voters and viewers see what actually happens in a campaign. And the great thing about it is that, A, we're doing it, and the important thing to me was that we were able to do it in real time. So instead of watching a documentary 6 months after the election, you get to see it as it's happening. And the most rewarding thing for me is that people are watching it, B, they're liking it, and C, they're telling us that it makes them feel better about politics and democracy because they get an appreciation for what these candidates and their staffs and their families and the journalists covering it have to go through. It's a real crucible. And it's really interesting, it's entertaining, and it's informative.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll give an example. For people listening thinking a reality show, they're thinking Housewives where all that stuff is mostly scripted. This is the camera's just rolling the whole time. And one sign that stood out is that John Heilman's leaving a room, and Bernie Sanders looks like he's in a dead heat, and it turns out he virtually was in Iowa. And as everyone leaves, Bernie Sanders says, John, come over here. And essentially, I think if I understood it right, what does this mean? So he asked John Heilman, Bernie Sanders asked him, what does this mean?
It was a great moment. It's a classic circus moment where you had a candidate who's, you know, sort of in his own bubble of advisors, and he's suddenly realizing that, you know, he's actually winning, and it's a very big deal, but he doesn't have perspective on it. So he's pulling John Heilman kind of back into the room to say, John, what does this all mean? You know, he's kind of looking for validation of what's actually happening. And it's this beautiful moment of kind of vulnerability where you see a really human side of a candidate going, wow. It's sort of like the movie The Candidate where they go, what do we do now?
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of moment.
Yeah, so Mark McKinnon joins us. Mark, you picked up stakes from New Hampshire. You left. We know about the big winners. That was Donald Trump. We also know about the big winner. Silently was Ted Cruz. He's got to feel good about his performance. Here's a preview of what South Carolina brings. And, of course, you have history with South Carolina as you witnessed up close and personal the McCain-Bush battles back in 2000. So let's listen to what we can expect on Tuesday.
South Carolina had been the most reliable predictor of who would be the nominee of any state.
The Republican Party has become a Southern evangelical party. This is a Southern evangelical state.
And, you know, New Hampshire, Iowa, those are purple states. This is a Republican state. This is red as red can be.
All these establishment guys, the reality is it's a zero-sum game. As long as Bush is in the race, Kasich can't beat Trump and Cruz. Bush knows the same thing about Kasich.
They've been jockeying for a year to be the establishment mainstream guy. This is the place where it all comes together, those three guys.
All this high road, gonna stay positive stuff is going out the window. This is a tough state to be the Boy Scout.
It is, but if you're in a place and everybody else is a tout, a cheat, and a crook, and you're a Boy Scout, you stand out.
What about the thieves and the whores? Don't make it.
The fantasy of all this thing is all these establishment guys spend the next couple weeks beating each other up here. And the fantasy is that somehow you can knock the other two guys out and still have time to stop Trump and stop Cruz.
Yeah, I don't think it's Sundays at 8 o'clock is when it first sees, but you can get a Showtime On Demand, which is how I got it. So, Mark, you're thinking about what's happening. We did get some drama as goodbye Carly Fiorina, who didn't make the debate, and goodbye Governor Chris Christie. Christie was a real force out there, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, and, you know, he pulled the ring on his suicide vest, which blew up Marco Rubio, but it also blew him back to New Jersey. That's often what happens when you have that one-on-one contact, because it clears things up. It takes you out of the mix as well, and that's what happened with Christie. But, you know, it's fascinating being in South Carolina. I call it, as others do down here, the lizard's thicket. And I remember welcoming down here in 2000 with George W. Bush. He had been the front runner going into New Hampshire. We got hammered to our knees in the snow and lost by 19 points. And then suddenly John McCain swung 30 points and was up 5 in South Carolina. But what I remember is getting down here and realizing what a different place South Carolina is. It is rough and tumble. I remember our very first meeting, and we're meeting with some of these South Carolina cats, and they were talking to each other, and they looked at us and said, I hope y'all don't mind, but we're gonna have to cut the dogs off the chains. I said, oh boy, this is a different deal. And they did. I mean, it is. They kick it hard down here, and it's already happening.
Well, you know, it's one thing is clear is that we get a lot from Bernie Sanders. We don't see much from Hillary Clinton. Is the Clinton camp not cooperative?
Bernie Sanders has been great, and I think he understands the value of, you know, seeing the human dimension of this. The Clinton campaign hasn't been great about getting a lot of access. I think, you know, we talked to her staff about getting more. We'd like to show more. We think it'd be good for Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think the part of her problem is that she's so shielded from the public, and that's part of the perception problem. I've been in meetings with her, and I've worked with her on some nonprofit issues, and there's a side of her that the public doesn't see that I think would be very good for her in the campaign. And part of the problem she's suffering from right now is I think she's too much in the bubble. So I think it's in her best interest to participate more, and we certainly get that feedback. But we're doing the best we can talking to her aides and giving her a fair balance. But the reality is that we can only do as much as they're willing to provide for us. And so far, they've been somewhat guarded. But I think that that's exactly why Bernie Sanders is doing so well. He's totally authentic. And that's all we're doing. We're just putting up a mirror to say, what's it like? Who are you really like as a person? You know, how do you interact with your staff and your family? So it's an opportunity for the candidates to show. And as I think I mentioned to you before, part of the inspiration for this was the documentary about Mitt Romney, which was so good. And it showed a side of Mitt Romney that most people never saw. And the only regret that the Romney campaign has is that that didn't come out before the election. And so that's part of our ambition, is to do what the Romney campaign now wishes they had done, which is to show these people and what they're really like before the election.
Mark McKinnon, our guest. So now, we know you didn't go to the debate last night. Who goes to the debate Saturday night in South Carolina?
We'll be here, and I'm here now in Greenville, and I'm about to go to Bob Jones University, which you may recall was a big deal for us in 2000. It is a really important venue down here in South Carolina, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk to Lindsey Graham a little bit later about just what South Carolina is all about and get ready for the debate Saturday night.
So that'll be interesting. In terms of what's online, Rubio's got to get the momentum back. Do you sense in that camp there's a little bit of a desperation and unease as opposed to what it was like going from Iowa to New Hampshire?
They took a tough shot, but they're a team of solid pros. And by the way, most of his team are from South Carolina. So they know the drill, and they're a confident group, and they understand the power of the comeback. So they're trying to manage expectations. They're now talking about a brokered convention. So they're just trying to keep Marco in the mix, and I think that that's just the goal coming out of South Carolina. But they're calibrating it, and I think Rubio now has sort of stepped up and say, I recognize the issue that was the problem at the debate, but I've got a broader message that's important to communicate, and he's doing that. So, I mean, the great thing about politics is that America loves comebacks, right? And so he's now a little bit of a comeback story if he can get some traction here.
Right, just that state gets a chance to weigh in, and they'll get a chance to see Bush 43, older brother but shorter brother to Jeb Bush. What do you think 43 brings to the table in South Carolina, knowing that Trump is going to hit him for his 8 years in office, and Bush has no interest in defending himself for his 8 years? He just wants to help his brother. How's this going to play out?
Yeah, it's a fascinating dynamic, and there's going to be a lot of attention on that visit on Monday. Certainly Trump will hit him. He already has. But I think that Jeb has made the calculation that South Carolina is fertile Bush country. It was great for us in 2000. I've been to some of Jeb's events yesterday. They're packed and overflowing, and they're having to move the venues. So, you know, at the end, you net it all out, and the Bush name and 43 are certainly an asset here in South Carolina. And it's just, you know, for Jeb Bush on Monday, it's going to be all about the Bush family, the Bush name. And, you know, there's a lot of goodwill here in South Carolina, and that's where they've chosen to – and that's where 43 has chosen to come out and wrap his arms around his little brother.
Yeah, I just think he wants no part of this process, though, Mark, but he's going to be brought back into it.
He really does. He really does. And I think I really give him credit for staying off the radar screen and being a, you know, being a model for what an ex-president should be, I think, staying out of the fray. But, you know, this is about blood. It's, you know, and it's about blood and family, and he wants to, you know, I think he was even reluctant to come out. He said, listen, I don't want people dragging my name and talking about, you know, my presidency and being an anchor on the deal. But if I can help, I'm glad to do it.
Well, finally, here's John Kasich on Jeb being too negative. Cut 26.
Jeb is spending all this time being negative. Does he worry at all about his legacy? Everything is trashing people. I mean, even Trump, I read today, Trump's like, you know, this guy does is attack. He needs to start being more positive. And I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know does he realize the family legacy?
Is Governor Kasich really outraged? You know the deal. What is Jeb Bush, is that a right accusation? All he does is attack?
No, it's really not. I mean, what I've realized in a lot of years of politics, I've worked with a lot of candidates who, you know, have this sort of quaint notion about, oh, I'm going to keep it all rosy and sunny, and I'm not going to talk about my politics. Well, this ain't beanbag. This is American politics. This is South Carolina politics. And at the end of the day, voters want to know about the differences between you and your opponent. And if you don't draw those contrasts, the other guy's going to.
All right. Mark, I know you're busy. You got to get back out in the trail, and then we'll watch you Sunday night at 8 in the final edit, and we're watching you out through this process. You know you brought this on yourself. Don't I want to hear how tired you are?
No, I'm loving it, man. I may not survive, but I'll go out with a good-looking corpse.
Yeah, you got a great hat. The name of the show is The Circus. If you love the political process, this is going to be like cocaine for you. The Circus starts at 8 o'clock, and you get it on the Showtime. You're going to get it on demand and on the app. Mark, thanks again.
Kick it hard, Brian. Thanks.
You got it.